Turn to the person you're sitting next to, tell them your name if you don't know them, and tell them in one sentence what makes you feel Christmassy. Go. And if you haven't replied, do reply. Okay. Okay, that's enough talking to other people. Come on. It's all being so sociable. You can continue your conversations afterwards over some mulled wine and mince pies in the parish centre. There you go. That was a good hook, wasn't it? But I wonder what you said. So for me, and I know I'm the one here with my dog collar on, so I should probably say something quite pious and holy about Jesus. And obviously Jesus is what Christmas is all about. But there's nothing quite like being in the car and the fairy tale of New York comes on the radio. And obviously I don't agree with the sentiments of that song, or at least some of them, but it just makes me feel quite Christmassy. To the point where I kind of sometimes have a Gavin and Stacey moment by legally bringing my wife on the hands-free and singing the entire song to her, which she tells me she loves and is a joy to her. I haven't asked her because I'm sure that's what she'd say. But maybe for you it's hearing a familiar song. Maybe for you it's, I know there are some eager people that get dinner ready, get the food ready like months in advance. I don't know who these people are. You can buy stuffing from a supermarket, but apparently if you spend ages making it yourself, it tastes better. Or a Christmas pudding that's been made months in advance and left to soak in some brandy or whatever it is. For some people, that kicks off Christmas and makes them feel Christmassy. I heard on the radio the other day that for one lady, it wasn't what she cooked at Christmas, but she was preparing her dining room in a woodland theme. And she was telling us how she was dangling sticks and stuff from the ceiling. Hello again. Dangling sticks and stuff from the ceiling.
Be quiet.
Be quiet. You're just saying what everyone else is thinking of. Okay, we need to be quiet, otherwise we can't hear. I can kind of see the logic in that. But she was talking about creating a woodland display in her dining room. And I was thinking, do you want a cuddle? Come here. Come here. I'm really sorry about this. Okay, you go to Mummy. Go on. I bet Mummy set you up to that, didn't she? Well done. Everyone's paid Kimberly £5 afterwards. So she was talking about a woodland theme. There's no point in me telling you now, is there? On her dining table, she was going to have a forest, kind of a woodland setting, and candles and lanterns. And I thought, you know, if you come to us for Christmas dinner, you're lucky if we scraped the Weetabix off that he had for breakfast, chiseled it away from the tablecloth. But she was talking about this amazing dining setting. For others, it's getting the presents ready. For some of us, it might be an evening like this as we gather to sing carols and things like that. So for different people, feeling Christmassy starts at a different point. And like I said, for lots of us, it is tonight. Because we hear familiar stories, don't we? We hear maybe familiar songs. I mean, if I said to you, for example, let me think. If I said, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," in fact, let's test it out. Ready? Hark the herald angels sing. Okay, you can stop now. You don't have to carry on. It's not a test of how long how much you know. But that's great. Or if I did, ding dong melody on high. This could be quite fun, actually. And any of you know me know that I'm really tempted to see how far I can go with that, but I'm not. Don't worry. So we know these carols. Many of us know them. We might only sing them a couple of times a year, but something about them sticks with us. Some of us might even recognise parts of the reading. That pesky guy Quirinius, that whoever has to read that passage in Luke has to practice on the way here. We might have heard of Quirinius and we're like, oh yeah, I remember that name. Or we've heard of Mary and Joseph. We've heard of this census. We've heard of this guy in Isaiah being prophesied about, the Prince of Peace. For many of us, there's familiarity. So most of us, I would think, know the story. We saw it on the video. We know the story. But I want to challenge you this evening to say, do you know the story, or do you actually know the story? Would you, if I said to you about the Christmas story, would you tell me about Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and all that? Or would you say, actually, Christmas is all about God coming down because he loves us and all that that means? I'm reminded of this book that my little one, who you may have noticed, subtly in the background tonight. This book is called Chicken Licking. Ridiculous story with stupid names. But it's okay. And I don't know where we got this book from. We acquired it. Those of you with children, I don't know how. We just acquire books from random people. I don't know where we get them. It's not a library book, don't worry. I haven't totally stolen it. So this book appeared on our bookshelf. And Arthur said to me, oh, can you read this book to me, Daddy? And I thought to myself, I know Chicken Licking. It's got lots of silly names in like Ducky Lucky and Turkey Worky and all these funny animals. And basically what happens is Chicken Licking thinks the sky is falling in. All the animals follow Chicken Licking, because they want a piece of the action as well. They end up at Foxy Woxy's house or lair or whatever it is that Foxy Woxy lives in. Foxy Loxy, some of you. Sorry, are very clever and you know the story. That's what I was going to say. So they end up at Foxy Loxy's house. Foxy Loxy eats Chicken Licking and the rest of the animals escape. I knew the story. Imagine my shock and horror. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't read this book yet. Every animal is dinner, apart from Foxy Loxy. I didn't know that. So I got to the page and I thought, well, I know what happens here, guys. Turn the page. Every single one of them gets eaten. And the I don't know what the moral of the story is. Something like, you know, don't follow talking animals. I don't know. Sounds like a good moral to me. But the point is that I knew the story. But actually, there was a key point of the story that I was missing. And I wonder if for many of us, we know the Christmas story. The comparison isn't perfect, but we know the Christmas story. But do we actually know the story? Do we overlook the fact that this manger was the bed for Almighty God? The same hands that moulded the earth, the same hands that filled the oceans, the same hands that flung supernovas out to the far reaches of the universe at creation, was the same hand that would grip around its teenage mum's finger as it was born. Do we overlook that in the familiar readings? Do we spend too long looking at the stable, forgetting that actually, in 30 years' time, Jesus was to wear a crown of thorns to be able to make us friends with God? Because that's what Christmas is all about. If we get stuck in the manger and stuck in the stable, we forget that actually the story of Christmas begins at creation and goes on to eternity. And God's here and he's inviting us to be part of that story. That's what Christmas is about. That God would be pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. Jesus wasn't just some good guy that went around doing nice things and telling people to be nice to each other. He was that. But he was also 100% God. That's what the Christian faith lives and dies by. That Jesus Christ himself is the incarnate God. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He was born a baby in Bethlehem. He was killed as a criminal, and one day he's coming back. We might think we've got life all sorted. We might think, I don't need a saviour, thank you. I certainly used to think that, but as I went through life, that wasn't my experience. My experience was of a God that when I was down in the ditch and down in the valley, he came down and he sat in the ditch with me and was close to me. By coming as a man, by dying on the cross, by taking all the bad stuff we've done, he gives us a chance to be friends with Almighty God. Later on in our final carol, we're going to sing one of my favourite lines. I invite you to watch out for it. And it says this, it says, he laid his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth. To me, that snippet, that sentence sums up what Christmas is all about. The reason Jesus came as a baby, that one day he will raise us to life. He invites us to join in with everlasting, eternal life. Christmas is not confined to the manger. So as we come into land tonight, I want to read again briefly from our first reading. You might know it, but do you know it? That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In him all things were created. He is before all things. In Jesus all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the head of the church, the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. And he makes peace through his blood on the cross. On the cross, we see our mistakes, our failures, our weaknesses. And I invite you to imagine this piece of paper has all the bad things you've ever done written on it. Those things you hope no one else ever finds out. Maybe it's just me. Confession time for me, maybe. But there are conversations I've had, there are things I've done that I'm not proud of. Before I met Jesus, and even after I met Jesus, to be honest, there were times I really think, oh, I hope that everyone finds out that about me. There were mistakes I've made. There were things I feel really bad about. There were failures. And I want you to imagine that all of them are on this piece of paper. Imagine that, it's written on there. And we come to the manger. Because the reason God came was to get rid of every single thing we've done, was to remove it totally. It's left, it's gone. There is nothing left. And so on the way out tonight, I'm going to offer you, you might have seen these at the works, I'm going to offer you one of these festive robes. We've got snowmen, Father Christmas, Christmas tree, my personal favourite, gingerbread man, reindeer, you've got a few of them. And all these things are great, it's part of Christmas, it's part of why we celebrate. But rubbers get rid of mistakes, don't they? When we've done something wrong, we can rub it out and it goes away. And Jesus came to get rid of all the things we've done wrong so that we can be friends with God. So I invite you, as you leave after a couple of hours' time, to take one of these with you, choose your favourite one, no fighting. Take it with you as a reminder that underneath everything, underneath all that Christmas is, at the bottom of it, it's all about Jesus. And it's all about his love for you. And that's why he came. So let's bow our heads and pray.